Morning, everyone.
I'd like to introduce myself. I'm David Leonard. I'm the new pastor of Adult Ministries here. We'd like to welcome you to the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ and to this congregation of His church. And we'll begin with our morning welcome liturgy. Welcome home. Why are we here? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank You so much for Your gift of life in Jesus Christ and for our capacity to offer You praise and worship. As we gather this morning, pour out Your Holy Spirit on us and touch our hearts with the wonder of Your gracious love. Amen. In closing bulletin this morning is an insert about human trafficking. This is, there are a number of issues that sort of fly under the radar for a lot of us for different reasons. Sometimes they're just too painful to want to know about. Other times it's because in discovering them we have a sense of helplessness in not being able to do anything about it. Human trafficking is one of the major issues of our day, and according to this brochure, I just learned that it's one of the major issues here in Florida, which I did not know. And we have the opportunity not just to be helpless, but to have a part in helping deal with this issue through today's Mission Box. And here's a video that will tell you something about this ministry here in Florida.
A common myth about human trafficking is that the industry lives only in poor, underdeveloped countries where individuals are forced into sex slavery to earn a living. In reality, human trafficking affects almost every country in the world, including our own. An estimated 2.5 million people are forced into labor as a result of human trafficking. 80% of those trapped are women and girls, and up to 50% of them are under the age of 18. Human trafficking sells children and adults for a profit in industries such as sex and labor. Victims of trafficking are often sold by trusted friends or family members, or are misled into thinking they are being given legitimate jobs. Once they realize the jobs they will have to perform, it is too late to escape. What's worse is that internet sites are only exacerbating the industry. These sites continue to aid the growth of human trafficking, which has become the second largest black market industry, tied with arms dealing and coming in just behind narcotics. Human trafficking is believed to generate profits of an estimated $32 billion. Of that number, $15.5 billion is made in industrialized countries like our own.
Thank you.
guys. Would y'all please stand and join in the singing of our opening hymn, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
as we do praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us affirm what we have believed about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with the traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. One of the joys of being a part of a Christian fellowship is the joy of praying for one another and sharing our concerns. We have these concerns that are listed, and we hope you'll keep them in your prayers. Let us turn our hearts and thoughts to God in prayer. Almighty God, the Creator of this universe, who scientists have just learned is far greater than even we have imagined before. We thank You so much for the gift of life in the midst of this creation. We thank You for Your presence in our lives and for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. It was through Him we learned not only about Your justice, but about Your love, Your mercy, Your compassion. And it is because of Jesus we have discovered how much Your love for us will go, even to the cross and the death there. It is because of this that we know You understand what it is to be a human being, and to experience the sufferings that we experience. And in that light, we lift before You these that are heavy on our hearts and pray for the relief of their suffering, for healing, for hope, for wholeness of spirit. We especially today pray for all those who are victims of trafficking and ask that Your Spirit would be present with them in a unique way, that they not lose hope about life. And we pray for those who make them victims, that Your Spirit might touch their hearts and change their lives. We pray all this in the spirit of Jesus, who also taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Thank you, David. I hope you're really excited about January 26th, Saturday, 2 weeks. January 26th, former Sunlight member, former Trinity member, Kenny Thomas is going to be here. It's inside your bulletin. You can read about it. But the men's retreat is that morning. Just call ahead if you could let us know, but you don't have to. $25 covers breakfast and lunch and helps with Kenny's expenses. And Kenny's going to speak for the men. It's going to be right here, round tables. Going to have two Trinity guys speaking as well. Not as long, but Fred Ramirez and Cecil Roll on balancing faith, work, family, and personal life. So I hope all the men of the church will come, whatever your age. Come that Saturday morning. It'll be a full morning, a lot of good stuff. That evening, January 26th, Kenny and his band Cornbread, who I think it's in your bulletin, have opened for a lot of country music acts. And Kenny's the one who was involved in the thing that became known as Black Hawk Down. That night, a concert at 7, open to all of us. And then Andrew Pridgen had the idea, why don't we invite all the veterans and active duty, all you veterans, active duty, and a guest, come for dinner, a free dinner. And so Andrew's going to cook that. And I guess he's friends with Tim Walton of the U.S. softball team. And the U.S. softball team, we just found out, is going to serve the meal. So it's going to be a full night, a great night. I'm really proud of this church. We're doing this. We're launching out in some of these concerts. And so help us spread the word and be here for that night. It'll be a great thing. I hope those of you who are new, and all of us are, what we're doing here at Trinity is reading the four Gospels between now and Easter: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you'd like a bookmark that has a sort of a checklist of the chapters you're reading, there are some over at the Information Center and the kiosk around. And if you haven't gotten started yet, don't worry, you're only 7 chapters behind. I mean, they're short chapters. And tomorrow we'll start with, again, with Matthew chapter 8. And if you aren't on my daily scripture email list, I hope you'll sign up for that. What I do is talk briefly about a verse in there or a theme of that chapter, and then the rest of the email is that chapter. And we're using the translation known as The Message by Eugene Peterson. I learned last week from Ken Carter, who knows Eugene Peterson quite well, that it took Eugene Peterson 12 years of almost daily working on The Message to translate The Message. What a labor of love, but what a refreshing, different read. One other thing, Mick Scully, you remember Mick from Afghanistan that I've shared with you things about? He texted me or emailed me today and said, hey, what translation is this? I really like it. It's new, it's refreshing, it's just a different slant. Might not be your study translation, but it's a great translation. Daily Scripture email, you can go on our website and get that. I asked Nick, when is he going to be back in Gainesville? He said, we're going to move to Philadelphia. My wife's from up there. So I hope we get to meet him one of these days. Now, one other thing. Invite your prayers for Jan and me. I'm going to fly tonight to Kiev, Ukraine. I've been invited by my friend Sergei, the president of the Moscow Methodist Seminary, in this sort of embryonic, but they're well on their way, seminary. They're having a class off-site for 1 week intensive in at a retreat center outside of Kiev. I was planning, he'd asked me to go in March. That was going to be a little complicated for me. And then he emailed me a few weeks ago and said, could you come in January? The person who was supposed to come, when he found out it was 12 degrees, decided not to come. No, that's not why he didn't come, I don't think. Any rate, it is pretty cold over there. Jan, some of you have asked, is Jan going to go too? No. Jan, we thought about that. He said it wouldn't be a lot for Jan to do. She could take a bus into Kiev, but not knowing the language, not knowing the culture, that wasn't something Jan was thrilled about. And it happens that our kids are going to be coming to from Virginia, are coming down to Florida. I'm probably telling you more than you want to know about me, aren't you? Sorry about that. Anyway, coming down to Florida for some conference Eric's involved with. They're going to stay at a friend's house in Flagler. Jan's going to meet them on Thursday and go to Disney on Saturday. So it was Disney or Kiev. Would you stand and greet the people around you and say, I wish I were going with Dan to Kiev.
Almighty God, as you taught us that love means offering oneself, so we offer you these gifts today for the work of bringing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Consecrate the gifts and the givers to that end. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Sunlight. I have great news for us. The Staff Parish Relations Committee had voted unanimously, excitedly, to ask Alice Wallace to be the director of Sunlight Youth Choir. Alice has been a real vital part of it over the years, going on tour and filled in here as an interim, and found she really loves it. Found she has two right-hand men, Mike Jeter, who's going to be the assistant director. Mike, thank you. and Steve Bingham. Steve continues in what he's doing. Thanks, Steve, for all you do. Yeah. And I saw the list of songs that y'all come up with, and others, I guess, mainly you all. Very exciting, and if you want me to sing along with some of them with you, I'll be glad to do it. All right. I thank you all for being here. I know you had a retreat yesterday. I know you. This is early, and I just really appreciate you coming every Sunday, or most every Sunday. It's just one of the best things going. We're talking about Jesus between now and Easter, and his first sermon today. Let me just kind of review what's happened the first three or four chapters of Matthew. We learn about his birth in Bethlehem in chapter 1. Chapter 2, we learn the wise men came from the east, gave gifts. And then the paranoia of Herod, first encounter of Jesus with evil. I'm going to talk about evil and innocent suffering, not this coming Sunday. I come back this coming Sunday night, but the following Sunday. So, you know, that's a struggle for a lot of people, and it keeps a lot of people away from God and from the church. Why the innocent suffer? Why my child got this, or why I've got that? And I just hope maybe you'll be able to be here, obviously next Sunday when David Allen preaches, but the following Sunday. So they escape to Egypt, out of Bethlehem. They're there for 7-8 years until Herod dies, and they come back to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up under the tutelage of his parents. Then in chapter 3, he's baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin. Chapter 4, he again encounters evil. He goes out into the desert and is tempted and tested, comes through it with strength, kind of a foretaste of down the road. And then he begins to do his first sermon. And this is his first sermon, the next text that will come up on the screen. His first sermon is 7 words long. Don't you wish every sermon was 7 words long? Who said amen? Sarah, thank you. Oh, Trinity is such a wonderful place to be, isn't it? From that time on, Jesus began to preach. Here's what he said in this first sermon. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. If there was one thing today that you could change, or you felt God wanting you to change, as you enter in anew to the kingdom that's here, what would it be? Think about that for a minute. There's one thing you are just wrestling with, and you say, you know, the translation most of us are familiar with, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here or near. Repent. Repent means you're going this way with your mind, your thinking, your living. Change. And Jesus didn't say that as bad news. He said it as really good news. Change your mind. Change your way of looking at things. Enter this new thing that God is doing, because God's kingdom is here now. In a whole new way. It's like this. It's like God and Jesus were in heaven. They talked it over. God said, what a mess they've made again. And I'll do something about it. And Jesus comes down into heaven. And as he comes, it's like this great swooshing sound that the realities and power of heaven come with him. And he invites us into this reality of heaven on earth. God's presence in a new way. So one of the things that excites us about inviting people to church, inviting people to a relationship with Jesus Christ, is it's not bad news that sometimes we make people feel. It's good news. You, hey, come enter into this sea of resources of divine power. God's presence. Christ dwelling in you. You don't have to sort of do this on your own. Just step into the stream. Isn't that good news? Step into the stream of God's love and grace and power. It's wonderful news. Change, because the kingdom of God is here. God's presence is here. God's dream for this world is here. And you just step into it. I was thinking as we were sitting here, I mean, what's that like? How do I know it? I mean, sometimes you get a really good feeling inside. Sometimes you say yes to Jesus and you hear these experiences. Sometimes, at least for me, it was like over a period of time. It's kind of like if you have a really neat mom and dad, and over time you realize, it's usually after you go away to college, not until then, and you realize, hey, they were really something. They were really special. And I can see that they were a lot of their characteristics developing in me. And so when Jesus says, start this journey, that's what he means. Start this journey so that the presence of Christ, the personality of Christ, the character of Christ can be formed in you. One of the neat things, Jan told me today, she's teaching at this class, this hour, she said, you know, we're on the same, in Sunday school for the children, your kids are doing the same text I'm doing today. Not exactly 4, but chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. But they're studying through Matthew, this kingdom, the very same thing. So ask them about that when you get out of here, when you're on your way home. So that's the thing Jesus said. Repent, change, for the kingdom of God is here. That's the first thing he did. After he came out of the desert, he did 3 things. First thing he said, this is what's happening. Hey, I just want to share the good news. God is here. God's power and presence are here. Step into the reality. Second, what he did, he started healing people. Now you say, well, that's no big deal. Jesus healed people. But it's really important that was the second thing he did. And if you read that in the end of chapter 4, he healed the paralyzed, the sick, the demon-possessed. Now, why is that important? It's important just because that's who God is. But it's important because in that world, the old idea of Job was alive and well, that if you're demon-possessed, psychologically messed up, if you're sick, paralyzed, handicapped in any way, it's because why? You sinned. You sinned. Now that seems incredibly cruel, awfully wrong, but that's what they believed. And so you had this whole segment of society who were excluded from all the religious stuff because people looked down on them. Were we really that different? It wasn't until 19, what was it, that we passed the Americans for Disability Act. And you go to a lot of foreign countries. I remember when we were in Moscow, every building was up about 8 steps. When I asked Sivan and Eric's Russian au pair, because, and obviously this is close to my heart, but it's becoming close to her, Elena's heart, she said, yeah, in my native country, handicapped people are excluded. You see what took us 1,900 years to live into the beauty of what Jesus is about in this area? Because the first thing he did was say, you know, all of you folks who the religious authorities have said, you're out of it because, no. You're the first to enter in. And that's what he did all through his life. All those people who've been taught or thought for some other reason, no, come on in. This wonderful thing God is doing is for all of us. Actually, I made a mistake. That's the third thing Jesus did. The second thing Jesus did after he preached about the kingdom of heaven is here. You know what the second thing he did? He called the disciples. He recruited disciples. Andrew and Peter, James and John. Why? Because Jesus said, I need some help bringing about the vision of God in this world. And he's still doing that. And don't miss this, friends. That's what he's doing for you and me. He's calling you and me. not just to get us to heaven, that's important, but to be His followers, to help realize God's dream here on earth. That's what we're called to be about. To realize that. Now, the beautiful thing is, He gives us the resources. And then He teaches us about it. And you get the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 through 7. The Beatitudes, all these blessings. Hey, look, come on in. Come on. And it's this beautiful way of life. Now, make no mistake about it. Lots of people in the world see things so differently that it's going to feel strange. And they're going to look at you like you're a little bit off. But this is the way I want you to live. It's different than you've been taught. It's a beautiful way. It's a beautiful... Here's what the message says. Here's what Peterson says. Let me tell you why you're here. You ever wonder why you're here? Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Isn't that a great phrase? You're here to be salt seasoning to bring out the God flavors that are here. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as a public as a city on a hill. And then he says, now look, there's a lot of tradition here. And I'm not here to do away with the law. I'm here to penetrate to the intention of the law. And then he takes these five or six things that are sort of incrustations of the law, like barnacles on a ship that have kept people from really seeing the true meaning of it. You're not supposed to murder. That's what the law says. Listen, I'm talking about an interaction of the heart where you just treat people with kindness and mercy and grace. You extend to them the way you want to be treated. You don't bully. You don't listen to people who do. You have a change of heart. Adultery, sure that's wrong. But I'm talking about a deeper dimension where you treat people of the opposite sex, same sex, with enormous respect. You treat them the way God is treating you. You've heard it said an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. No. Okay, that's the way most people in the world might want to live. That's not how my followers are to live. Turn the other cheek. You've heard it said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. No. Now, I mean, this is pretty strong stuff, Jesus said. He said, now, the way you keep bringing heaven to earth, the way you keep drawing on my resources, you spend time with me each day. You come to church and take Holy Communion. And you pray. And here's the way you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your task and my task is to step into the stream of God's grace. Wow, feels good. And then live as Jesus called us to live. The other day, I was getting my new glasses. You know, I had the surgery. I got the cataracts taken out and lens implant. They let me see all of you really, really well without any glasses. I just can't read. I can't see up close. And I tried it for a while with those readers, and I looked weird, and I didn't like it, and I kept losing them and all that. So I got glasses. And the woman who was helping us said, hey, I've got good news. I've been apprenticing with the head guy there, and I'll be an optician in a few more months. How long have you been doing this? Several years, actually, apprenticing. That's the word Dallas Willard uses instead of disciple. You and I are to be apprentices of Jesus. So we learn from Him. And here's what I want you to do. Back when I was in high school, our MYF group, just great like Sunlight and the youth group here, we read Charles Sheldon's book, In His Steps. I think it was written in 1897, and I didn't know it was that old. But it was a lot, I'm not that old, but it was written. And, you know, it was an impactful thing on me. And then a few years ago, this What Would Jesus Do? The bracelets and all that became really popular. I want to invite you to take it to a different level. I want you 50 times a day to ask, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus want me to do? What would Jesus want me to think about that issue? What would Jesus want me to reflect? What would Jesus want me to do? And it's not easy. I mean, somebody came out and said, you know, sometimes I think Jesus wants me to do this, and sometimes wants this. And it's not intended to be easy to know what that is. But that's what it were intended to be, I think. What would Jesus do if He were here in my place? Now, let me get real concrete. On Christmas Eve, I shared some reflections about out of the Sandy Hook thing. And I put them in the Tuesday Word. And for the most part, lots of people were very, very positive. There were 8 or 9 emails that really sort of took me to task and said, you know, Dan, I think you're all wrong on a conversation about guns. And at first I was sort of distraught. I thought, oh gosh, they don't like me. But as I reflected with some friends, it was, you know, how wonderful to have this conversation. And I celebrate that at Trinity. We can have a conversation because it's in that conversation that we discern with greater clarity, what would Jesus have me do? I guess what I'm asking is that as followers of Jesus, our first response be, wow, what would Jesus want me to do about that? And that our second response, because we're members of this country, the Constitution is really, really important. All the amendments are really important. That we ask that question, that's really important. But that we lead with the question, what would Jesus want me to do? And we do that with everything. Now, here's my commitment to you as we work our way through the Gospels. I'm going to try to ask this question for myself, what would Jesus want me to do? I'm going to try to answer it for us. I mean, as somebody said, hey, that's what we pay you to do. And you're free to disagree. And to the best of my ability, I won't be trying to trump a particular political agenda to the right or to the left, to the best of my integrity before God. Now, if you infer that that's what's going on, I hope that's just your inference and it's not what I'm doing. But hear what I'm trying to say. The kingdom of heaven. As we learned this past Wednesday night, the kingdom of heaven, let me read what I wrote 2 or 3 days ago in the Daily Scripture email. Heaven has two meanings. Life forever with God beyond this life. Wonderful. I mean, that's where we all want to go. It also has this here-ness here. It's God's vision for all of life and it begins here on earth. And Jesus came to show us how to make that happen. And as apprentices of Jesus, we want to ask the question, okay, Jesus, what does that mean for me? What do you want me to do? And for some of us, we'll be activists, taking up causes that we think are really important. For some of us, it's like the email I got from one of you that said, you know, when my son was in ICU for a month, I never cooked one meal. I never did one load of wash. People would come in the back door, take care of this, take care of that. Often didn't know who it was. Their neighbors, church community, knew that this was something that Jesus would have them do. So here's the good news. The good news is Jesus came to bring God's presence and power here on earth for you and I to live through His strength by saying yes to Him and becoming His apprentice to learn how to live the way Jesus wants us to live. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we're grateful, grateful, grateful for this call of yours upon our lives to sort of move more deeply into our understanding of who Jesus is, what He's about. And just give us eyes to hear, see, and ears to hear, and this wonderful community of faith where we can together discern and discuss. And in that process, we know that your Spirit is with us if we invite Him to be there. Make us more faithful followers of yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One other wonderful bit of good news is He invites us to be nourished in this by prayer. He invites us to be nourished in this by Holy Communion. And I'm glad we serve Holy Communion almost every Sunday. So would you come to the table of our Lord? Personal confession to you, O God, in these silent moments. Would you pray silently? May I offer this confession. God, I sometimes find myself, just because the world is the way it is, of just sort of getting caught up with the way that everybody else thinks. And I don't hear that still small voice of the Savior of the world saying to me, here's what I want you to do. Give me the courage to listen. Listen like I've never listened before. It's in your name we pray. Amen. It is good to give thanks to you, Father Almighty. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so we offer ourselves to you, proclaiming the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Gather here, O God, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. Amen. At these two tables, there are both gluten-free and regular bread, and we invite you to come. And I thank you for all of you who are willing to stand up and offer the service, hold the bread and the cup and just say the words when people receive the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Would you, as you help, would you stand now and sing our closing hymn? We invite you to come. Thank you all. Would you would you stand, unless you're kneeling, if for prayer, and take someone's hand and receive the benediction. God, what a wonderful congregation. Give you thanks for each one, for your call upon our lives, inviting us into this amazing journey of being your disciples. So mold us together that we will become an even mightier force for the kingdom in this community and around the world. Send us forth now in your power, we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.